All right, everybody, welcome back. We are jumping into another book of the Bible today. Buckle up because this one is a little different. It's a Horse Chronicles.
It's a fascinating one for sure.
Yeah, we're going to try to
Dense.
it's super dense. We're going to try to
Fascinating.
totally. We're going to try to keep it interesting for you guys though, because
It's a lot of names,
it's a lot of names.
a lot of begets.
So and so begot so and so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're going to be looking at this again through a secular historical lens, using the source material Unraveling One Chronicles, a secular take. And yeah, One Chronicles kind of just retells a lot of Israel's history that we've seen in other books, but it focuses a lot on these long genealogies and also on King David's reign.
A very specific focus.
Yeah, very, very specific focus. And when we look at it through this modern lens, things get kind of,
It really does, yeah. You
I
start
don't
to
know.
question things
Totally.
and see things in a different light.
Yes,
Oh.
exactly. Yeah, and that's what we're here to do. So let's jump right into it. And like I said, it starts with these genealogies. I mean, the first nine chapters
The first nine chapters,
are just names.
it's like reading a phone book. It really is.
Yeah.
But you know what's interesting, though, is when you think about it, these genealogies weren't just there
They're
for,
fun.
well, some people think they're fun, but they weren't just there
Well,
to
it's what filled up space.
space, right? It
Yeah.
served a purpose. And you have to think about this community. They're returning from exile, right? They're rebuilding their society.
Right.
And these genealogies were their way of connecting to their past,
Right.
claiming their land. You know, it's almost like they're saying, you know, we belong here. This is our history.
This is our lineage.
This is our lineage.
Yeah, we're
We're
tied to this land.
tied to this land. And I mean, I get that, right? It's like if you go back
And
and look at
more.
your own family tree, you see.
How oh, I'm descended from this person, from this place. You kind of feel that connection.
There's a sense of belonging.
Totally.
Right, there's a sense of rootedness, and that's what these genealogies were providing for the Israelites.
For sure. But what I find interesting is that some of these genealogies don't quite,
Don't quite line up.
yeah, they contradict other accounts. In the Bible, like the lineage of King Saul is different in First Chronicles than it is in the Book of Samuel. So that kind of raises some red flags for me.
Well, it raises questions, right? It makes us think, okay, are these just different versions of the family tree that were floating around at the time? Or were there some, you know, political or social reasons why certain lineages were emphasized over others? You know, is there some sort of agenda going on here? And it really makes you start to dig deeper.
Totally. And speaking of agendas, we have to talk about King David
Oh, yes.
because
The star of the show,
he's portrayed very,
very positively.
yeah, in a very positive light in First Chronicles.
Right. He's pious.
Pious, successful.
He's successful. He's like the ideal king.
Yeah.
It's almost as if the chronicler is giving us a very carefully curated highlight reel.
Yeah, the good parts.
Right. They're kind of glossing over
They left out the parts where he's like,
the messy parts,
yeah, there's one.
complicated
It's a
parts.
little morally ambiguous. It can make
See, it
it.
makes you wonder why,
Well,
right?
exactly. Yeah. Why do you think they did that? Why do you think they chose to?
Well, there's probably a few things going on. I mean, you have to think about it theologically. Presenting David as this righteous king could have been a way to inspire the post-exilic community,
Right.
right? Like giving them a model of leadership and faith.
Right. This
This is how a king should be.
is what we're striving for.
Exactly. But then there's also the political side of things. You know, this idealization of David could have also served to legitimize the Davidic dynasty,
Right.
to reinforce their claim to the throne
We are descended from this great.
from this great king.
Yeah.
So we have the right to rule.
And it's interesting because it's like they're using history to achieve
To achieve my
their
aims.
own goals,
Which,
right?
like,
Which makes us question the entire
it
book.
makes you wonder, yeah, like,
Like, how much of this is actually objective history?
yeah, how much of this can we
And
take
how much of this
and take at face value?
is spin? It's fascinating to think about.
Totally. And this idea of spin and kind of,
Yeah.
you know, curating the story, I think really comes through when you look at how the chronicler handles events that are
Like thin
less,
flattering.
less than ideal. One that comes to mind is the story of Bathsheba and Uriah.
Right.
Do you want to fill people in on what that story is about?
Yeah, so this is a story where David has an affair with Bathsheba, who is a married woman, and then he basically arranges for her husband Uriah to be killed in battle to cover it all up. So not exactly a shining moment in David's life.
Not his finest moment. Not his finest moment. But guess what? Fring Chronicles completely glosses over it.
They just
doesn't mention it.
Yep, didn't happen.
Yeah.
It's like it never happened.
Which really makes you question, okay, what are they trying to achieve here? And then this kind of leads us to another challenging aspect of Fring Chronicles, which is the glorification of warfare.
Yes.
And conquest.
That's a big one.
Yeah. And I know, like, we see this in a lot of ancient texts.
Right.
But it definitely clashes with our modern sensibilities.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's something that we really struggle with today.
Yeah. And I think a good example of this is, you know, the book describes in detail how the Israelites conquered these different territories.
Right.
Often with a lot of bloodshed.
Oh, violence.
And from a modern perspective, it's kind of hard to...
It's really hard to stomach.
Yeah, to stomach that. What do you make of that?
Well, I remember the first time I read these conquest narratives in Fern's Chronicles.
I was really taken aback. You know, it really forced me to confront the complexities of interpreting these ancient texts.
Right.
Because what was considered acceptable behavior back then is just not okay now.
Right.
Right. I mean, we have a totally different understanding of morality.
Totally.
But it doesn't mean we can't learn from it.
Right.
It's a reminder that our own values, they're shaped by our time and our place.
Right.
And it's important to try to understand that historical context, even if we don't agree with everything that was happening.
Totally. So how do you think we can reconcile these ancient values with our modern?
That's the big question, isn't it?
Yeah. How do we
bridge that gap?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's an easy answer to that.
Yeah.
But I think for me, it starts with acknowledging that tension, being willing to engage with it. We can learn from the past, you know, without necessarily endorsing everything it represents.
Right.
It's all about, you know, critical thinking.
Right.
Nuanced understanding.
For sure. And then we have this element of the miraculous.
Oh, yes.
In First Chronicles.
We're miraculous.
Which I think is something that a lot of modern readers struggle with.
Absolutely.
You know, things like divine intervention in battles.
Right.
You know, it's tough to...
Where God is directly intervening in human affairs.
Yeah, God came down and did this thing.
And it's hard to reconcile that with our scientific worldview.
Totally.
Right, where we're looking for, you know, empirical evidence and natural explanations for things.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking of one example here where it describes God helping David defeat the Philistines.
Right.
By sending a storm.
Yeah, a big storm.
A big storm that disrupts their ranks. And like,
right.
I mean, if we were to look at that today, we'd be like,
yeah,
well, there was probably a storm, you know, right.
Probably some bad weather.
Yeah. And they weren't prepared.
Yeah. It worked in David's favor.
But they're saying, no, it was God.
Right. God sent that storm.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a question of faith versus empirical evidence.
Right.
And it's a discussion that continues to this day.
Yeah.
How do we approach those seemingly impossible events that are described in these ancient texts?
Yeah.
It's really up to each individual to decide how they want to grapple with that.
Yeah. So where does this leave us with First Chronicles?
Well, I think it leaves us with a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And a lot to think about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on the one hand, it's this amazing window into the world of ancient Israel.
Right.
It gives us insights into their history, their beliefs.
Their culture.
Their culture, their worldview.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, we have to approach it with a critical eye.
Yeah.
We have to acknowledge that there might be some historical discrepancies, some ethical complexities that we just don't agree with today.
Right.
And that the author might have had their own agenda.
Yeah.
You know, they might have been trying to...
To spin things.
Spin things a certain way. And I think the biggest question that we're left with is, does viewing Fring Chronicles as a work of political or theological propaganda rather than just a straight historical record, does that change how we understand its message and its purpose?
It really does.
And that's something I hope our listeners will continue to think about.
Yeah, keep thinking about it.
As they explore Fring Chronicles and other ancient texts.
Awesome stuff. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Yeah, this was fun.
Until next time.
See you next time.
Keep those brains buzzing.
Keep questioning.
Keep learning.
Absolutely.
All right. See ya.